What's up? This is Dominique Beaumonte, and you are listening to Season with Salt, the podcast. You are listening to Season with Salt, the podcast. My name is Dominique Beaumonte. I am your host, and this is episode 75. That's right, friends, 75. And today, I want to pose the question, is LaShawn Pace's rebuke of the church, is it meat or is it the bone? You know that old saying that says, chew the meat, spit out the bone? Well, before we begin this discussion, I need to tell you, just in case you don't know, who is LaShawn Pace? Who in the world is LaShawn Pace? Well, LaShawn Pace is a world-renowned gospel artist from a historical singing and preaching family. And she is a songwriter, an evangelist, and a singer. She has a number of albums and credits under her belt, including some of my favorites. And she can just sing, to be honest. She is a member of the Anointed Pace Sisters, and she can sing. However, what we're going to be talking about today is not what she is doing when she sings, what she is doing when she is not singing. She posted a video where she says that she received a prophetic word from the Lord, and she wishes to share that with the people. The video has since gone viral and become a little bit controversial, because in the video, she spends some time talking about a number of topics, including women's apparel, the commitment and the conflicts between the church and pop culture. She focuses on things that have to deal with women's appearance primarily. And I wasn't going to say anything. But then I remembered that I have a podcast that addresses the very intersection of pop culture and Christendom. And I said, make an episode. This podcast is called Season with Salt because the Bible says in Colossians 4 and 6 that the words of a believer should be spoken in grace and seasoned with salt so that we know how to defend ourselves and answer any man. And so I present to you a conversation about LaShawn Pace's rebuke of the church. First of all, I think it's important for us to begin this conversation by reviewing the definition of prophecy, because it is in that definition that we can best understand what we are discussing today. Okay? I looked up prophecy in the Bible dictionary, and I landed on one that I felt very confident about, and it is that prophecy is a miracle of knowledge, a declaration or description or representation of something future beyond the power of human sagacity to foresee, discern, or conjecture. And so I think it's important for us to begin there. Oftentimes when we think of prophecy, we have been normalized to think of it as a good tiding or information related to provision or a need that we have. In fact, we have monetized prophecy to the point that if it is not positive, we do not know how to properly categorize it. The thing that is troubling about prophecy, specifically in these days, I'm not going to teach no theological lesson or anything, I just want to say this. Our comfort and our concurrence with a prophecy is irrelevant. Prophecy is not for the purpose of making us comfortable or establishing comfort or our concurrence. Now, if we are comfortably righteous, then there are aspects of prophetic knowledge that will affirm us, that will make us comfortable. But that's not what this podcast is about. I do not struggle with many of the things for which evangelist LaShawn Pace provides as a sobering rebuke of the church. And some of it is much less a rebuke, but more of a reminder of the time for which we live. So before I begin with my critique of some of the things that she said, I think it's important for me to narrow in on the things that we agree on. Number one, I agree with evangelist LaShawn Pace that Jesus is coming back. I agree that Jesus is coming back. Number two, I believe wholeheartedly that sin is a reproach to God. Sin is a reproach to God. I believe wholeheartedly that God is giving us the opportunity, the chance, the season to repent. We do not disagree with that. In fact, I also agree, as I've heard it affirmed many times, that God is dismantling mega ministries for the sake of the fact that many of them have gotten off beat, off focus, off message when it comes to the gospel truth. And it has become a system where people are drawn away from the gospel for the sake of money. And the Bible says that money can be the root of all evil, all right? So we do agree with those tenets. I also agree that there is an extreme danger when it comes to the influence of pop culture in the church. I agree with Dr. Pace in this regard. Where I struggle is the ways that we have grappled or our approach, our counterproductive approach to how we deal with pop culture. And I believe wholeheartedly that you can say the right thing in the wrong way. And the reason why that's important to me as a person who has influence with people younger than me is that the wrong word, right? Because the Bible tells us that a soft word turns away wrath, right? The wrong word or the wrong way to say the right thing can be detrimental to someone who is weak in the spirit. And so it's for that reason that we have to challenge some of our biases in the way that we think. So that's why I made this podcast episode, because I'm like, what are you going to talk about for your 75th podcast? I'm like, yeah, this is what I'm going to talk about. I think that sometimes we forget that the gospel is multi-generational. And so when we forget that the gospel is multi-generational, then we take our generation, which is powered by, or our generation powers our bias. And then we can be careless, sometimes without the intent of being careless. We can be careless in the way that we share what is the realness or the reality of the experience that we are living in. And so before I just begin, I just want to say that I'm not debating the motives of evangelist Pace, right? I believe that she, like many others, is the byproduct of a generation whose ideologies are simply birthed in a cultural framework that was moved by an era that had very little to do with religion, right? And I use that word religion like the Bible does, right? Not like we do when we're trying to challenge systems that we don't like. But I want to just drop, I got 10 or 11 or 12 things that I want to share that I think are important when we are having public conversations about the intersection between culture and trends and religion and spirituality, because I think it's very important. The first thing I want to say is that, well, let me just back up and say that these are my personal beliefs, some rooted in scripture, some rooted in knowledge, but all birthed in my passion for seeing people unified under one banner, which is Christ Jesus. The first thing I want to say is that men should be very careful about our critique of women or the way that they look or the way that they act. Like, we are a system, especially the church, built and sustained by patriarchy that has been harmful to women. And what I mean by that is that for some strange reason, the way women look, what they put on their face, what they put on their under their underarms, their every action, their every fashion choice seems to be scrutinized by systems where weak men, okay, all right, I shouldn't do that, but you know how I was feeling real turned up. But no, the reality is that we have a lot of system. Many of our systems have weak men with no self-control. And so there are a lot of rules and there's culture that's completely centered and built around the weakness of men. And we really need to challenge that in the day that we live in. So men need to be very careful about how we participate in conversations, even in Christendom, about what women should wear, how they should look. Listen, say what the Bible says, and then when you are done saying what the Bible says, get on out of that conversation, right? Number two, we should stick with scriptures in their context when we're talking about promoting moderation. We also need to remember that moderation has no gender. moderation has no gender. We made, but you know how we do when we built this framework where even we assign the spirit of Jezebel to women, like it's an exclusive thing. Well, no, the spirit of Jezebel can be assigned to any gender, right? And so we have to be careful not to project our own feelings on other people when it comes to moderation. Because what is moderation to you is not moderation to other people. So if I'm quoting scripture, I need to first study the context of moderation. Let me just say that, right? I need to understand what it meant when it was written, and I need to understand that this might mean something differently now. And then the question for those who are influential in Christian spaces is, how do I teach this with love? Okay? How do I teach this with love? And then how do I teach this with grace, right? So that I am not the reason why somebody loses their faith in God, right? The Bible says that we are living epistles read by men, right? In other words, they may not ever read the Bible, but they will read our perspectives, our thoughts, our contributions, and they will use those thoughts, perspectives, and contributions to build ideologies and mindsets around the church that can be harmful to our growth and development. So we need to be thinking about what does it mean. What does moderation mean? Number three, I believe that women who project their opinion about fashion and style and trends on other women, especially if you are a Christian, should be done in wisdom without jealousy, because sometimes we can be jealous because of the access and the exposure to some of these trends that we did not have when we were a younger person's age, right? And so while I am saying that men should not be involved in telling women how to dress and how to be, I think it's important for women to be judicious and to operate in wisdom and from the heart as they mentor and coach and develop other women. I think that that's very important. I think the other thing is, and this is number five on my list, and I got 11, so I'm going to go quickly. We should not project denominational culture on all Christians. Listen, I am a proud member of the blah, 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 right? At the same time, I realize that not everybody is a member of my denomination, right? Not everybody represents what I represent. And so I cannot take the ideologies that are represented in my denomination and cast them upon all denominations, because then I would be in a situation where I'd not be able to fellowship with my brother and sister, because I'd be locked in these false ideologies and rules that I have created that may work for me and my culture, but don't work for other Christians. So we have to be careful there. We should reframe our conversations about holiness so that they point to the God that transforms hearts. And I think that some of us need to take a we need a reality check in a sense. We need to take inventory of the people and the influencers of our sanctification, right? That process of being sanctified, if we grew up in the church, was it people or was it things? And I think that all of us will admit that ultimately what sanctified us or what sustained our walk in sanctification was the Holy Spirit. Because the Holy Spirit can do things that other people's critique, other people's opinion cannot do, right? In fact, your opinion and your critique might make me do the opposite. But when the Holy Spirit gets a hold of me, then it transforms the way that I think. And so I all things are lawful, but not all things are expedient. I learned that through my relationship with the Holy Spirit. Because you can tell me how to look, you can coach me into modesty, but the Holy Spirit sanctifies me. Right? The Holy Spirit prepares my heart to be received by God. And so we need to make a we need to draw a line in the sand when it comes to what Christ does for the heart and what we do for the heart and what we do for the outward appearance. Number eight, we should check our bias, right? We need to make sure that our bias is not influencing the way that we use scripture. Because that can be very dangerous, especially when we overlap scripture with our bias, right? Somebody was talking about how they weren't allowed to play marbles when they were growing up because the Bible said marble not. And even though it's kind of a joke, that meant that that person took the misinterpretation of that scripture into spaces where other people were playing marbles and they began to become judgmental of other people. Some of it was because they couldn't play, so they were jealous. And then others of it were because they had been conditioned to believe that playing marbles was a sin, therefore, anybody playing marbles was going to hell. And so they projected their bias over a scripture and a false interpretation of a scripture, and pow, they're judging everybody right and left. And so really we have to search the scriptures as the Bible says, right? To make sure that we are not projecting something that is false over somebody's life so that they get so caught up in the semantics of some rule that we made up, and then they leave or they're not interested in spiritual community or Christian fellowship. Number nine, we should pray to receive prophecy with obedience. We really should pray to receive prophecy with obedience. Not every prophetic word is going to make us feel good. Not every prophetic word is going to inspire us to skip through fields of grass. There are going to be some sobering words of prophecy that are going to cause us to have to rethink and reframe who we are and what we do. And so we need to be praying, God, help me to receive prophecy with obedience, right? Because a part of the challenge with LaShawn Pace's message is that some of it is culture and some of it is truth, because some of it is undebatable and some of it is, right? When you get to talking about whether people should wear wigs and makeup, because my grandmother, I love her so much. There was a period in time where she was not wearing earrings, and she was or any kind of jewelry, because the Lord told her that in that season of her life, He didn't want her to do that. Now, she did not project that on every earring wearer. That was a part of her testimony. That was a part of her journey. That was a part of the work that Christ was doing for her heart. Right. And so we've got to be careful. We can receive prophecy, right? We can be in community with other people whose mantle might be different than ours, right? Now, even though that there's a conflation of thought and ideology in LaShawn Pace's message, I want to just reiterate that she and I agree that Jesus is coming back. We agree that sin is a reproach to God. We agree that, and I affirm what God is doing in these mega ministries that don't honor God. And I believe that there is a danger in the conflation of pop culture and spirituality. However, I also believe that we have been harmful towards women, towards children, towards people, towards marginalized groups because of our ideologies that we have framed in biblical scripture, but we have not been able to back up, and we use it to marginalize people and make people feel uncomfortable, sometimes rooted in jealousy, right? And we need to be careful with that. Number 10 is, we shouldn't throw the baby out with the bathwater. And I debated whether that was even an appropriate thing to say because I love kids, right? And I hate the idea that we're even speaking to children about children in that way. But we should not say, well, she said something that I didn't like, and so I'm throwing out what she did. Listen, whatever your heart is convicted by, but even if you are not convicted by the thought that Jesus is coming back, guess what? Jesus is coming back whether you like it or not. And I do not hate to break it to you. I'm happy to break it to you. And then finally, I pose the question, is LaShawn Pace's rebuke the meat we should be chewing on, or is it the bone we should be spitting out? And like any type of delicious carnivore or meat, right? The best part is the bone. No, the best part is the meat. And then we spit the bone out. And I think that if we can listen with an open heart and we can yield to our own conviction and we can pray through the prophecy and see whether it is true, then I think we'll be all right. I want to read to you 1 Thessalonians, the 5th chapter, the 19th to the 13th verse, because I think it's important in this conversation. And I'm reading it to you in the King James Version. Quench not the spirit. Despise not prophesying. Prove all things. Hold fast to that which is good. Chew on the meat. Abstain from all appearance of evil. Throw out the bone. Verse 23. And the very God of peace sanctify you. The God of peace sanctify you. The God of shalom sanctify you wholly. And I pray God, your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Hey, thank you so much for listening to my podcast. I really appreciate you. If you have not already, please go to your podcast platform of preference and please subscribe to this podcast, Season with Salt. You can also always listen on my website, seasonwithsaltpodcast.com. Thank you so much for your support and can't wait to have 75 more episodes.